the sun was starting to rise, it was still kind of dark outside when I woke up. And I don't know if I woke up because of the sound or if it was that I woke up and that is why I could hear the sound, but I knew there was something in our campsite. At that point, I was the only adult with a group of 9 teenagers in the Boundary Waters on a camping trip, and I was responsible for them. And so I heard this sound, and I started to wonder, what could it be that was out there? And my heart started beating so fast, and my mind was racing, and I thought, what is in our campsite? And at first I thought, maybe a chipmunk, maybe a squirrel, but I knew right away it wasn't one of those because it was big. It was bigger than a chipmunk or a squirrel. So immediately I thought, what if it's something dangerous? What if it's a bear in our campsite? What if it's a wolf? What if it's a mountain lion that has come to our campsite and all these kids are in danger and what am I going to do about it? And I got so nervous and so worried and I thought, you know what? I have an idea. I think if I just lay back down and put my pillow over my head and I can hum a hymn like, then maybe I'll just fall back asleep and it'll be gone and we'll never have to worry about it. So that was my plan, just go back to sleep. And then I turned and I saw that Katie was staring at me with huge eyes. The only teenager who had also woken up, she knew that there was something out there and she was looking at me and we were both silent because we didn't want it to know that we knew it was out there. And so, but I could see in her eyes she was asking some questions like this. What is it, Chris? Is it dangerous, Chris? Is it going to eat us, Chris? And what are you going to do about it, Chris? So I had to put on my big girl shoes, and so I unzipped the corner of the tent really quietly and carefully, and I peeked my head out, and I couldn't see anything, but I could still hear it. Those footsteps went clump, 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 and splash, 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 and it wasn't far away. And I looked back at Katie, and she gave me that look, and so I put on my shoes, and I started walking out to find out what it was. And I turned around, and there she was, right behind me. She was scared, but she wasn't going to miss out on this. So I thought to myself, you know, if this is something that's going to eat us, all the rest of those kids need me to get them home. So maybe I'll send Katie first. Then I thought that would sound really bad on a resume later. So I went first, and we crept around looking, and finally we came out to this bay that was just alongside our campsite, and there they were. 8 legs, big furry bodies, little pointy ears, a mama and a baby moose. I know, gasp, splashing along the campsite, probably from me to the sound booth. There they were, just and thankfully walking away from us along the bay, but just doing their thing, just being moose, out for a morning walk. And I said, wow, that was so amazing. And I knew it was a wow experience because I'd never seen a moose in the wild before, let alone 2 of them. And it was, I believe, a once-in-a-lifetime experience because I really don't go camping anymore. But I knew it probably was never going to happen again. There they were, and I said, wow. But I didn't just say wow because of the moose. It made me say, wow, I know who made those guys. I know the God who made this beautiful place that I get to camp in and these amazing creatures that are out here in the wilderness. And so today, on the last day of our summer series called Tell Me a Story, today we have a creature story, or what I call a creature's story. Because like Jess said this morning, the Bible is full of stories about creatures. So here was my hope, since there's llamas coming today. And I don't even really know why Bloomington Covenant brings llamas to church, but it was such a big hit last year that here we go. And how many of you came because there were llamas today? So it's a thing. Maybe we'll just have to get some llamas and put them in our garage and just have them. So I thought, wouldn't it be so awesome if there was a llama story in the Bible? Wouldn't that be great? So I searched high and low. I looked at my concordance. I paged through story after story, and I'm sorry to say there are no llamas in the Bible. So then I thought, well, you know what would be really cool is if there were some stories about Jesus and animals. And I thought, oh, a great story would be if Jesus healed somebody's sheep. Like a farmer said, here's my sheep. Jesus, it's sick. Will you heal my sheep? But I couldn't find that story. I thought maybe there's a story where Jesus is up on a mountain talking to people and he says something like, care ye for the beasts, both great and small. But he doesn't say that anywhere because apparently people would have laughed. And then I thought, oh, wouldn't it be cool if Jesus and his disciples had found a stray dog and then they took it in as a pet and they just kept that dog with them everywhere they went. But I couldn't find that in the Bible either. It doesn't mean it didn't happen. It doesn't mean any of those things didn't happen. But whoever was writing these Gospels, the stories about Jesus, chose not to write them down. And so I decided, well, there weren't those stories. There is a story about Jesus riding a donkey. And we always tell that story right by Easter time. And there's a couple things that Jesus says. He talks about birds and he talks about animals every now and then. But what I realized was, even if the Gospels don't have a lot, the Bible, like Jess said, is full of things about animals. There are stories about animals and things about animals, and they're all over in the Bible. So remember, there's a quiz on the back of your bulletin, too, where you can circle the animals that you think are in the Bible and come talk to me afterward. But in the Bible, there are lots of talk of flocks. Lots of talk of flocks. There are sheep and goats. There are herds of animals. There are shepherds who care for their sheep. There are donkey tales in the Bible. There's a story about how Mary, Jesus' mother, rode a donkey to Bethlehem when she was pregnant before she gave birth. There's actually a story of a donkey who talks in the Bible. Now, how many of you knew that? A talking donkey in the book of Numbers. There are dangerous animals in the Bible. There's a story of Jonah who gets swallowed up by some scary creature in the sea. There is a story about bears. And I'm sorry to say, there's a story about bears who attack a group of kids who are bullying someone. There's a story in the Bible, there's a sea creature called Leviathan that everyone's afraid of. There's a story, like we heard about Daniel in the den of lions. And there's the stories of David where he says in order to protect his sheep, he had to fight lions and sometimes had to fight bears along the way. There's things in the Bible about caring for animals. There's Noah who took the animals two by two onto his boat to keep them safe. There's the reference that we've had in the scripture that we read today about how God cares for the animals. There's animals that are used for food and for sacrifice, and there's animals used as metaphors. So in the Bible it says we are God's sheep, or sometimes it calls us sheep or goats, and then Jesus even is referred to as a lion sometimes or as a lamb. But, of course, there's the story of how all the animals came to be. From the very beginning of everything we know, according to Genesis 1, it's the story of how the earth comes to be. And in the beginning, God makes light, and then he makes land and sea, and then he makes stuff that grows, and stars and planets and sun and moon. And then this is what it says. It says, God said, let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds of the air increase on the earth. Okay, this is where I need your help. It says that God created all kinds of creatures in the sea and birds in the air. Tell me a creature of the sea, something that swims or lives in the ocean. What do you got? Axolotls. What do you got? A great blue whale. Awesome. The big red crab. A shark. A dolphin. A stingray. A turtle. There's so many. Okay, we're moving on to birds. Okay, name a kind of bird. A bird that you... Yeah, what do you got? An eagle. What? A cardinal. I love those guys. A raptor. Ooh, big one. Pelican. Penguin. I knew that was coming from you, Tucker. What do you got? A bird. An elephant bird. Okay, one more. An ostrich, right? A bird that doesn't even fly. So there's these, it's the Bible says that God creates all these things in the water and things that fly, and then it goes on. He creates more. It says God said, let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds. The livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind. And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was okay, you guys, here's what I need. Livestock. That means farm animals. What's a farm animal that you like? Yeah. A chicken. A horse. A donkey. Cow. A cat. There's totally cats on farms. A what? Sheep. A dog. Okay, we had livestock. Then we had, what else? Creatures that crawl on the ground. How about amphibians or reptiles? What are you holding in your hand? A turtle and a snake. And a crocodile, yep. Toads. Snake. Axolotls. That's a good one to say. Spiders, too. Okay, and then how about wild animals? What's a wild animal, Tucker? A bull? Okay. Well, you know what? A wild elephant is called a bull. We'll go with that. Yeah. A what?
Jaguar.
Oh, jaguar. Lion? Cheetah? Lion. A wild horse. There are wild horses in the range, yes. Wild cat. And there's all kinds of... So many things that God made. And the Bible says that God made all of these things. And we know this story. And it tells us... So Genesis tells us that they're there. That God made all these things. That all of these things exist because God made them. But here's what Genesis doesn't tell us. It doesn't tell us how many. Just that there's 90 animals in the Bible. There's more than that in the whole world. It doesn't say how many that God made. It says that God told them to be fruitful and multiply, which means God said, do the thing I made you to do and have more of you and fill up the earth. And they did it. I saw a study in National Geographic that said in 2011, someone predicted that there are over 8 million species on earth and that human beings have been able to name maybe 1.5 million of them. Whatever God made, he made in vast variety and in uncountable numbers. There are so many things out there that we will never, ever see that just exist because God made them. So Genesis doesn't tell us how many he made. It doesn't tell us exactly how God made them. It just says that God spoke and these things came to be. Have you ever wondered what that would be like? Anybody ever wonder what that would look like? So today, we're going to use our imaginations and a favorite book of mine. This is called The Magician's Nephew by C.S. Lewis, and it's part of a series called The Chronicles of Narnia. And they're supposed to be kids' books, but boy, you learn a lot about our own theology and what we believe by reading these stories. So here's the thing in the story. There's a lion in the story. Does anybody know the lion's name? Aslan. And Aslan represents Jesus. Right? So Aslan's got this, is the character that C.S. Lewis sees as Jesus. So he is describing how C.S. Lewis thinks it looked when God made the world and when God made creatures. And he says that the lion, God, sang them into being. So he said this, the lion was singing still, but now the song had once more changed. It was more like what we would call a tune, but it was also far wilder. It made you want to run and to jump and to climb. It made you want to shout. It made you want to rush at other people and either hug them or fight them. But what the song did to the humans was nothing compared to what it was doing to the country. Can you imagine a stretch of grassy land that is bubbling like water in a pot? For that is really the best description of what was happening. In all directions, the land was swelling into humps. They were very different sizes, some no bigger than a molehill, some as big as a wheelbarrow, two the size of cottages. As the humps moved and swelled till they burst and the crumbled earth poured out of them, from each hump there came out an animal. The moles came out, just as you might see a mole come out in England. The dogs came out, barking the moments their heads were free, and struggling as they've seen them do when they're trying to get through a narrow hole in a hedge. The frogs, who came up near the river, went straight into it with a plop, plop, and loud croaking. And then showers of birds came out of the trees. Butterflies fluttered. Bees got to work on the flowers as if they hadn't a second to lose. But the biggest moment of all was when the biggest hump broke like a small earthquake, and out came the sloping back, the large, wise head, and the four baggy, trousered legs of an elephant. And now you could hardly hear the song of the lion because there was so much cawing, cooing, crowing, braying, neighing, baying, barking, lowing, bleating, and trumpeting. That's an imaginary story about what it looked like when God began to make the world and all of these creatures came to be. So the Bible tells us that God made the creatures. The Bible doesn't tell us how many or how. And Genesis doesn't tell us why. It just says God made all of these creatures in the world. And Genesis doesn't say it, but I think if you read through the Bible, you get to get a few hints. And these are the two reasons I think God made all the creatures. The first one is this. God made the creatures for God's pleasure because they bring him joy. God is overwhelming with creativity. When you think of all the variety of animals that are out there, God made them. And it says whenever God made something, he saw that it was good. God said, I like what I made. Have you ever made something and felt really proud of it? Maybe you made a card on a Tuesday morning that was going to go to someone. Maybe you weave dish towels that you give to people. Maybe you've built an addition on your home. Maybe you've sewn something or baked something or colored something or painted something. And you looked at what you made and you said, oh, I like that. God made all these creatures and said, I love what I have made. And they bring God joy and they bring God praise. In the Bible, it says, we've even sung today the words, everything that has life and breath, praise the Lord. When all of those creatures make their sounds, whether they roar or they bark or they mew or they hiccup or they gurgle or they hiss, whatever it is praise to the God who made them. God made the creatures because God could, and they bring him joy. But I also think God made all those creatures for us to enjoy. God made those creatures, I think, for us to look at them and say, whoa, God, there's somebody out there who made all these things. That you don't look at those things and say, well, that just came to be. Somebody designed that. Somebody made that. Somebody intended for that creature. And it's for us to look at them and say, wow, God, you made that. There's a writer, a famous writer, and I'm sorry I didn't write much for kids, but Henry David Thoreau said this. He said, my profession, which means my job, he said, my job is to find God in nature, to know God's lurking places. And then he said this, my job is to attend, like go to or listen for all the oratorios and operas in nature. Thoreau says, we are about being able to look at nature, to see the things that God made, and those things should point us back to God. Say, oh, you're real. Oh, you're powerful. Oh, you're so creative. God made the creatures so that we would know that God is there and so that we would say, wow, and see how amazing that God is. Here's a couple amazing facts about animals that God made. Do you know that pandas eat for 16 hours a day? So they sleep and then they spend the rest of their day eating. They're like teenagers. All day long they're eating. An octopus has 9 brains, 3 hearts, and blue blood. Wow. Every single dog has a nose print that's unique to it. Just like we have unique fingerprints, dogs have nose prints, and every single dog is different. If they ever need to get printed for, you know, Homeland Security or something, and they'll be able to tell all the dogs apart. Here's one that I love. Koalas, when they are born, are about the size of a jelly bean. And they can't see and they can't hear, but they can climb right away when they're born. And a hippo, I saw these guys in the wild once, a hippo can open its mouth 4 feet high. Anybody, you guys shorter than that? Come here, Beckett. I'm just saying. Dude, you should, keep a little distance between you and hippos whenever you get a chance. God made all these creatures, and when we see them, we say, wow, that is amazing. And then that causes us to turn and give our praise back to God. We can see the animals. We don't praise the animals, but we praise the one who made them, the one who made this incredible earth and all those animals in great variety, and then us, who were the next creatures to come along in vast variety. They were made so that we would make our own noise and say to God, wow, you are amazing. You are awesome. You are great. In our hymnal, there's a song called All Things Bright and Beautiful, and it's based on a poem. And it reads like this. It says, all things bright and beautiful, all creatures great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. And one of the verses says this, God gave us eyes to see them and lips that we might tell how great is God is Almighty, who has made all things well. When we sing our songs, when we lift our praise, when we say wow to God, we are giving God our love and our praise back. So I invite you to sing. We're going to sing a song, kids, that is really old. But it is a song that I learned when I was a kid that comes right from our hymnal, and it's called How Great Thou Art, which is saying to God, God, you're really amazing and you're really great. Let's tell our God how great we think he is.
Will you please?